Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
And good morning. The time is 8:50, and it's time now on WILL for the pre-opening market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. China's government has taken the unusual step of publicly denying it passed the U.S. last year as the world's biggest trader, a politically sensitive status. Trade data from both governments indicate China passed the U.S. last year in total imports and exports by a margin of $3.866 trillion to $3.822 trillion, or about $44 billion. China's Commerce Ministry issued a statement today denying that it said China still lagged by $15.6 billion last year under World Trade Organization standards for valuing goods. Conagra Foods has raised its fiscal 2013 guidance again, this time to reflect last month's $4.95 billion acquisition of private label food maker Ralcorp Holdings Incorporated. Conagra increased its full-year adjusted earnings estimate by 9 cents to roughly $2.15 a share. Private exporters this morning reported to USDA export sales of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2012-13 marketing year. The 2012-13 marketing year for soybeans began on September 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 14,038, up 57 points. The NASDAQ, 3203, up 11 and a quarter. The S&P 500 is 1526, and it is up almost 6.5 points.
A major winter storm.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Joining us with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A major winter storm will likely impact a portion of the U.S. Central Plains and a part of the Western Corn Belt as we move through the end of this week. The storm system promises to bring much-needed moisture to an area that is very seriously drought-stricken. And the storm will also create some issues with road closures, perhaps general air travel problems, and also livestock stress from portions of Colorado, Kansas, and Nebraska, right on into the upper parts of the Midwest and the western Great Lakes region. These areas will see significant amounts of precipitation, mostly in the form of snow, sleet, and freezing rain as we move forward through the end of the week, starting tomorrow night in the Central Plains and continuing Thursday into Friday across a big part of the Midwest. Storm system promises to produce a substantial amount of moisture in U.S. hard red winter wheat country. In fact, it may be the greatest storm system since the middle part of April of last year. The storm system promises to produce anywhere from 4/10 of an inch to 1.25 inches of moisture across a fair amount of the region from interior western Kansas across most of Nebraska. Most of the rest of the region from Kansas on into Wisconsin and Minnesota will likely see anywhere from 2/10 to around 6 or 7/10 of an inch of moisture. Snow accumulations with this event will likely run 6 to 12 inches from parts of western and northern Kansas into Nebraska, with a band of 12 to 20 inches expected in northwest and north-central sections of Kansas into south-central and interior eastern portions of Nebraska. The storm system will still produce significant snow further northeast, but it will be a weakening storm at that point. We expect accumulations across Iowa to run upwards to 1 foot in the extreme west and southwest parts of the state, while the rest of the state will likely see 3 to 7 inches. And the same will likely occur in parts of southern Minnesota, southeastern South Dakota, and portions of Wisconsin. For the rest of the Midwest, the same storm system will produce some rainfall and a little bit of rain changing to snow, along with some freezing rain and sleet in some locations. Most of the icy conditions will occur in portions of Missouri and Illinois. We'll likely see eventually the majority of the Midwest seeing the precipitation changing over to snow as colder air comes in behind the storm system. The majority of the moisture that occurs in the central and eastern parts of the Midwest will likely evolve as we move from Friday into Saturday. The system will likely produce enough precipitation that we will likely see perhaps a little bit of potential for local flooding in the lowermost parts of the eastern Midwest, but mostly down in the Delta and parts of the Tennessee River Basin. And again, it looks like the storm system will get started tomorrow night in the western Corn Belt, but be most significant as we move on into Thursday and Friday, with whatever lingers on Saturday being relatively light. The storm will be followed by another system which will come into the Midwest late in the weekend and early next week. It should be a much weaker system and not likely be able to produce nearly as much moisture, but a little bit of additional snow will fall from Nebraska to Wisconsin and Michigan from that event, with some rain and snow in the eastern parts of the lower Midwest. Temperatures over these next few days are expected to bounce around a bit, but we won't be nearly as cold as the upper parts of the Midwest and the northern plains. Those areas will be well below zero tonight and tomorrow night for low temperatures. In fact, negative teens and some negative 20s will occur in some of that region. Most of the heart of the Midwest will see temperatures cooling off into the teens and 20s for the most part, with a few single-digit readings in the northern parts of the region away from the upper Mississippi Basin and Red River Valley. High temperatures across the region over these next couple of days will likely turn cooler. We'll expect the majority of the lower eastern Midwest to see highs today running in the 30s and 40s, while we'll see single digits and teens in the northwest part of the region. Tomorrow, everybody will be in the teens and 20s, except in the far southwest, where some 30s will likely occur. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is March 5th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. And we have a dynamite lineup, including John Bondrand of Bondrand Futures, Murray Wise of Murray Wise & Associates, and University of Illinois ag economist Peter Goldsmith. Our theme this year is Strategies for Market Profitability in 2013. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Register now at 217-333-7300 and avoid the registration line. We'll take all major credit cards. Call 217-333-7300, and we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line the day of the event. And if you've been thinking about going to this event, it is fair warning to you. I believe there's less than 40 tickets left. It might even be fewer than that. I have to get a tally a little bit later this morning. So if you've been thinking about wanting to go to this event and have been putting it off, now might be the time to go ahead and call 217-333-7300. And Todd and I hope to see you there. Let's go ahead and look at how futures are trading in the electronic overnight in Kansas City. March wheat at 780 and three quarters is up 3 1/4. March wheat in Chicago, 745 and a half, up 3 1/4. March corn, 701 and a quarter, up 2 1/2. July, 686 and a quarter, up 1. December, 561 and a half, down 1 1/2. March soybeans, 1448 and a half, up 24. July, 1426 and three quarters, up 22. November, 1273 and a quarter, up 11 and a half. March soybean meal, 41790, up 850. March soybean oil at 5207 is up 45. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
What do we owe this little pop in soybeans to today?
Well, China's back active this week after being gone all last week due to the Lunar New Year, and that's basically what it is China back buying beans from here, there, and around the world, and that's pushing things higher.
And if you look at the technicals, we have now gaps above and below the market. I suggest that maybe we're looking for some volatile trade coming up at sometime soon.
I would expect that volatile trade to continue just like it has for the last 2 months.
What do you see in the corn today?
Corn, I see it being drug a little bit by the beans, depending on what forecasts are for South American weather and how much of that crop has been planted, their second crop corn. We could see it be pushed a little higher as that planting pace is behind normal, and if they don't get it planted by certain dates, they don't plant it due to the heat coming later.
Do you think we could have value buyers in the corn market soon?
I think we have those already there, as needed, and I think that's the problem. As needed isn't as big as maybe we thought it would be. I think the USDA, though, still has feeding way underdone because there's no hay, no anything except grain to feed livestock right now.
Wheat has been very quiet lately.
Wheat has had supposed weather coming into our wheat country to help improve that, and also some in the rest of the world, and that's kept it from just doing much of anything except gradually going past that 750 mark from the 8 mark.
All right, Pete, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Have a great one, Dave.
You too. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, March corn at 701 and a quarter is up 2.5. July is 686 and a half, up 1.25. December at 562 is down 1. March beans, 1448 and a half, up 24. July, 1427, up 22.25. And November at 1274, up 12.25. March soybean meal, 418.20, up 880. March soybean oil, 52.06, it's up 44 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.